B-Pod Studios.
Wednesday night, All Elite Wrestling returns to Aganis Arena on the campus of Boston University. My guest at this time was the official of record for the first ever All Elite Wrestling World Championship match in 2019 in Chicago. She is AEW's project coordinator. I would call her the lead advocate for AEW Games and the co-host of AEW Unrestricted Podcast. The great Aubrey Edwards joins me. Aubrey, how are you? Thank you so much for your time today.
I'm doing great. That was one heck of an introduction. Thank you.
Did I get the project coordinator title right?
You did. You very much did. Project coordinator is kind of like a grab all for, hey, we need some random thing done. Can you please do it? I'm like, sure. Yeah. We're all in it together. One team.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about AEW. That's the vibe that I get, is that you guys are one team striving for one goal. And
exactly.
That's a really cool concept.
Yeah, I mean, it's a goal that we all believe in, right? Like, we wanted to make an alternative to wrestling, and AEW has been super successful. So all of us have a way to make an impact in that. So why not?
I'm excited to chat with you because you're one of my favorites in the promotion. And I think your story is such a fascinating one. And my first noticing of your work was I was in Chicago for the Chris Jericho Adam Page AEW championship match. And I'm still in the process of learning about AEW and some of the different talents that maybe I've heard of, and I'm just kind of seeing for the first time. And you're the lead official of the AEW championship match, a main event match, a big deal. And I noticed you as a very active referee and even threatened to disqualify Chris Jericho in the main event for not breaking for a five count. And it really reminded me of how active Tommy Young was as an official for the National Wrestling Alliance, reacting to moves in the ring, not as a distraction, but as an emphasis on what's going on in the ring. The entire idea of, if the performers in the ring are believing, then the fans in the audience are going to feed off of that and believe. So where did that style come from for you, and where did that in-ring personality come from?
It came from two different places. Funny enough, you mentioned Tommy Young. When I first started training as a referee, my coaches highly suggested I look into Tommy Young and watch a lot of his stuff. I never watched wrestling as a kid. So for me, I was like, who's this Tommy Young guy? And then I end up watching him and seeing, oh, I have a lot of the similar movement style that he does. There's a lot of things that I can incorporate here. So a lot of my style initially was influenced by Tommy Young. So I'm glad that you caught that one a little bit. On top of that, I also studied classical ballet for 22 years. And if you end up watching a lot of what I do, like, my arms are very long and extended, and my legs always end up making ballet positions, even though I haven't danced in 4 years. So I think the combo of the two has definitely been the major influence in sort of my style and how active I am. And it's also sort of a mindset thing. Like, I've always seen the referee as someone who enhances the story. So it's a story being told by the wrestlers, but my job there is to help elevate it as much as possible and to help them do what they need to do to get across to the audience the story that they're trying to tell. Because whether or not the audience believes it, they're taking in what I'm doing and reacting accordingly as well, even when they are paying attention solely to the wrestlers. So it's important that what I'm doing is believable, but also helps to sell what is already being presented.
When did you find out that you were going to be the lead official for the championship match in Chicago?
Funny story there. So just kind of backtrack a little bit. I did the first ever Double or Nothing. And I was only initially brought on to do that one show. I was offered, like, we want you to do this one show. And obviously it's a, you know, hopefully if I do well, I get brought on again. And before the show even ended, I see Cody backstage covered in blood from the Dustin match. And I say, hey man, that was a great match. He goes, yeah, thanks. That's you're doing the next one. I'm like, what? Okay, cool. So his next match was Fighter Fest with Darby Allin. It went to the time limit draw. And that was a super important match to me because Darby's also from Seattle, which is where I'm from. So it was kind of like a big deal for both of us being elevated to the stage and working with one of the greatest of all time. And after that match, we all went to the bar. I think it was Cody's birthday. So we were all just celebrating and stuff. And he's talking to someone and loud enough that I can hear. And he's, you know, saying nice things, saying he really appreciated my work and all these things. I'm like, hey man, thanks. I really appreciate it. He goes, yeah, you know, you're doing good work. That's why you're doing the title. That's why you're doing the Jericho match.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like, what? And in my mind, I thought Jericho had a match at Fight for the Fallen. So I'm like, because there's no way they would let me do the title match. I'm a nobody. Why would that happen? Like, not at all. And then Fight for the Fallen, Jericho only ends up having a promo. And it dawns on me, oh, I'm doing the title match. Okay, this got very, very real. And funny enough, when I was offered the match from Cody at that after party, I was not a full-time AEW referee yet. I had just been brought on for the three-show point at that. So Fighter Fest, Fight for the Fallen, and All Out. I'm like, man, I really hope they give me a full-time offer. Otherwise, this is going to be a bittersweet ending.
I would think that they're putting you in the title match, that they're bringing a full-time offer soon. I would think
It happened shortly after Fight for the Fallen, so I was really happy that I officially wasn't full-time until September 1st, the day after the title match, but all the paperwork was signed, so we can say that I was officially an official at that point.
Well, and if you read the reporting, Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk didn't sign their contracts with AEW until they showed up at the building on their respective nights. So there's a lot of trust there within the company, and that's a good thing. That's a really good positive thing. For you, what was it like being the lead official for that match and working with Chris Jericho and Adam Page? And I mentioned the disqualification spot. It was like Chris Jericho was trying to make sure that people knew that you were in charge of the match. And Chris Jericho has also gone on record as saying that you are his favorite official to work with in AEW.
It was terrifying. I mean, at the time, I had a little over 2 years of experience reffing and very little television experience, let alone a live pay-per-view. I'd only done work for really AEW, a little bit of work for WWE at the time. But also, this is Jericho. I had only been watching wrestling for about 8 years at that point, but it wasn't lost on me how important he is to this business today and how he will be perceived forever in this industry's history. So to find out that he had requested me and Paige had requested me as well, I was a little like, okay, well, what the hell did I do to deserve this? Like, it was a little shocking. On top of that, Dean Malenko was also the agent for the match. So he was helping us put it all together. So, you know, just a little more daunting, no big deal. People ask like, oh, is that your favorite match? I'm like, no, because I was just terrified the whole time, but I didn't want to mess it up. And that spot you referenced in the middle where, you know, Jericho tells me in the back, like, hey, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to get in your face and I want you to give it back to me. I'm like, are you sure? Because I know like that's an immediately a moment where the story is now about us and it's not so much about him and Paige. And he said, absolutely. I want to really establish that you're the official in the match. I said, okay. And I've told people before, like, I'm really grateful for that moment. Because a lot of people going into that match, as you said yourself, like didn't really know who Aubrey Edwards was. And I feel like that moment sort of established like, oh, this girl means business. She doesn't mess around. No one can get in her face and she's here to stay. And I will forever be grateful to Jericho for that moment. And working with Jericho every time he has a match is just absolutely phenomenal. It's one of those things where to me, I'm just like, oh yeah, it's just Chris, whatever. He's a coworker because it's happened so much for the last 2 years. But like we were on the Jericho cruise this last weekend and I kind of stepped back. I'm like, I have a coworker whose name is on a boat and I'm here specifically to ref his match. Like how dope is my life? Like this is wild.
It's fun because I think I saw some of the photos and Chris Jericho allowed you to be an official in shorts.
Yeah, I did that last year because we were just like, oh, these are dark matches, whatever. Well, house shows, if you will, type thing.
Yeah.
And we're on a boat. Everyone's having a good time. Like, we're not going to do these super serious matches. So I had brought it up to Paul Turner, our senior official last year, and said, hey, you know, I think this would be a really cool idea. And we only did it 2 out of the 4 days because it was just so cold on 2 of the other days. But this year, I said, okay, Mike Posey, we're doing board shorts. And he's like, wait, are you serious? I'm like, yes, we're doing board shorts. And I brought in a new pair this year that I didn't have last year. And Tony Khan had approved it. Jericho had approved it. And I think it just kind of fits with the vibe overall of what that boat is and what those matches are. So it's going to be really hard being a Dynamite tomorrow and having to wear pants. Not something I was really looking forward to after this past weekend.
It's cold. You brought the Seattle rain with you to Boston.
And hey, don't blame this on me. Your rain is way harder than mine.
We're all looking for somebody to blame for something. You should have brought the Jericho Cruise nice weather or something instead of the Seattle rain, but.
That would have been great. Although when we did depart Miami, it was raining. So maybe we did bring the rain.
All right. I also remember the stadium stampede match. You and Chris had a moment where Chris threw a challenge flag at you. And I think Tony Khan was on Unrestricted, or he was on Jericho's thing. And that was a Tony Khan. Tony Khan really wanted to get the football spot into the match. So what was that kind of like going through that?
I mean, it should be known now that Tony Khan is also, you know, he's involved with the Jacksonville Jaguars and such a huge deal, which is why we had access to that stadium and why we're at Daly's Place for so long. So it makes sense there has to be some sort of football reference. Mm-hmm. And I think the greatest part of all of that is Chris Jericho, as a Canadian, doesn't quite understand the full rules of American football. So I'm standing there explaining to him, like, he's going to throw the challenge flag. I'm going to go into the review booth. And he's like, well, I'll go into the review booth. I'm like, no, it's only supposed to be the refs. Like, the players don't go. And he goes, no, we're going to do it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And we literally just stand in the booth, zip it up, and yell at each other long enough that we know that the replay is going to last and overlap. And then we come out like, all right, no, we're going forward. So it was just this silly, fun little moment of like, yeah, this is a wrestling match, but let's have some fun.
So Jericho is a hockey guy, and I guess they recently introduced the challenge into hockey. So maybe that's what I would think, that Jericho's been around the States and he's watched enough sports, but maybe not, because I have friends who are just wrestling fans and they're not pro sports fans. So maybe it's me thinking, giving too much credit for anything.
I mean, I'm a recent hockey fan. Being from Seattle, we've now got the Kraken. So there's a lot of rules for hockey that I'm now learning for the first time. So I got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
There's nothing better than playoff hockey, Aubrey. There's nothing better.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope we make it.
Once your team gets in, and I'm hopeful for your sake that you have a similar run to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, their first season, they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. The expansion draft rules have changed and so on. But I hope you get to experience playoff hockey live, because there's not being in Boston and being the Bruins and seeing their most recent cup runs, them winning it and them failing a couple times. There's an emotion that's very similar to wrestling, where you go up and down and up and down, and you know, the double overtime, triple overtime, lack of sleep, got to do it all again next day. Like, it's fun. But so I hope you get to experience that.
Fingers crossed.
Your backstory in wrestling is an exception rather than a rule. You mentioned that you didn't grow up a wrestling fan. You became a fan within the last, say, 10 years or so. What Correct. Was that? Did you have a singular moment where it just kind of like clicked and you're like, oh, I'm into this and I'm into this heavy?
Yes. And funny enough, it's kind of come full circle. The moment that got me hooked to wrestling was the CM Punk pipe bomb, which now working with him and having reffed his matches is kind of a surreal experience. And early on, everyone picks a favorite wrestler out of the gate, and mine was Daniel Bryan, now Bryan Danielson. And so I'm just like riding a wave of complete, like, oh my God, what is happening right now? So those two sort of were the reasons why I became such a hardcore wrestling fan and dove into it deep. Cause you know, I've only been watching the last 10 years, but there's a giant history of wrestling that I tried to catch up on following the indies and all these other things. So that was it. It was the pipe bomb kind of introduced it to me. And I immediately questioned like how much of this is real and how much of this is scripted. And that was the part that clicked. It's like, oh, this is theater. People are using their bodies to tell a story, but there's this new element of the audience being able to have the impact that they do. And that was really the thing that drew me into it.
Were you the Daniel Bryan girl at the retirement, at his first retirement? You were sitting there ringside and, you know, you were emotionally invested. You were crying over it, because I was crying at home watching the thing. It was the damnedest promo I've seen, because I've been a Bryan Danielson fan since his Ring of Honor work. Mm-hmm. They had a dog track in Revere, Massachusetts, and I watched him wrestle 90 minutes. Just like a marathon wrestler, just such a great competitor in the ring. The match he had with Kenny Omega that went to the 30-minute draw in New York was great. I'm anxious for the rematch I'm anxious for the rematch and just like, and that's one of the great things I feel about AEW as a fan is I'm putting the board together and being like, if the Eliminator tournament goes to its conclusion, it's John Moxley and it's Bryan Danielson, you know, at Aganis tomorrow night on TNT. If you're not in the crowd, it's a sellout, toughest ticket to get I've seen in a long time in Boston. And it's Eddie Kingston and it's Bryan Danielson on Rampage. That's a Rampage main event.
Yeah.
And that's exciting to me because that's contrasting styles right there. And Danielson can go with anybody. Is there a match that we talk about these dream scenarios? Is there a match in your mind that you're like, I have to be the referee for this match?
There's not necessarily a match because I think All Elite Wrestling has proven that anything is possible and who knows what Tony Khan has up his sleeve. I think my biggest thing that I want is I want the ability to work with as many different wrestlers as possible and with people who have lots of experience. Like I haven't worked with Bryan Danielson yet and it's a moment that I'm very much looking forward to. I've only worked with CM Punk once. I've only worked with Adam Cole once, haven't worked with Bobby Fish yet. So there's all of these guys that we're bringing in that are incredible and have all this amazing experience. And that's really the thing I'm looking forward to. And anytime we announce something as like, oh, this is a huge match, I'm like, man, I would love to do that. But even if I don't, I still get to sit in the back and be a fan and enjoy it for what it is.
I've been a longtime fan of Bobby Fish. And there's a backstory as to how he left NXT and is now in AEW that isn't for public consumption yet. But I'm very happy that Bobby Fish is on the AEW roster because JR on commentary on Saturday night properly defined him as an assassin. And I just love that gritty style of Bobby Fish and him having a match with CM Punk on Wednesday night is just something that's really exciting to me because this is just like a really gritty, good match. And it'll be a good test for CM Punk, who I kind of feel like, and tell me if you agree with me or not, Aubrey, CM Punk is trying to feel his way back into wrestling. And the perception I have felt from the internet to a degree is, why isn't CM Punk in the main event? And I feel like CM Punk is working with all these guys he wants to work with because he's trying to get his feet back and going. And then eventually he'll get into that main event picture.
I can't speak for CM Punk and I can't speak for the actual booking or what the long-term plan is at all. But for me as a wrestling fan and someone who's seeing my coworkers grow and learn from all of this amazing talent we have coming in, I mean, Punk has been out of wrestling for 7 years and there's a lot to get your body back in the motions yeah. and making you sure that you feel solid in what it is you're doing and your foundation is there again. So there's a bit of that, I'm sure. I can't speak for CM Punk directly, but...
No, I'm not asking you to. I love CM Punk. When he did StarCast in Chicago in 2019, that was one of the reasons why I went out there is because mm-hmm. I hadn't seen him in a while. And, you know, he looked good and he was in a good place. And I guess that kind of started the conversations with Tony Khan that took a year and a half to 2 years to get him to this point. And I'm happy more so than anything else that he seems to have found his happy place. Because mm-hmm. I think it just felt like he was struggling with that for a while. So I'm happy to see that he's happy and pro wrestling. And he got that great crowd at the United Center, which was awesome.
Yeah. And I mean,
worst kept secret in wrestling, right?
I mean, it's almost designed to not be a secret. When you sell out the United Center in less than 15 minutes on a rumor, it's kind of like, okay, what are we actually doing here? But I didn't actually believe it until I saw him in person. Like, oh no, this is happening. Oh my.
But Darby Allin with the line. Allin with the line, best in the world.
And it's like, exactly. That's kind of going back to your point, I mean, CM Punk is working with all of our future stars. We've said Darby Allin is one of the pillars of AEW. And having Punk's first match back after 7 years is just something to help elevate Darby. So while Punk's not in the main event, Punk is doing a lot to help us build our company. And that can't be lost at all because, you know, much like we've mentioned early on, we're all team players, right? And Punk's doing the thing that helps us a lot. Yep.
And he's having fun. It just looks like he's having fun, which is the most important thing. And that's
he very much is.
That's one of the vibes of AEW that I get is that you guys are just having fun going out there and showcasing professional wrestling. And that's a really cool thing. There are a few more things here and then I'll let you go. Cause I know you got a lot of work to do. Is there an actual All Elite Wrestling rule book coming soon?
I mean, there is a rule book that exists. It's literally a Word document that a bunch of referees all agreed to and Tony Khan signed off on. I don't know if it'll ever go out because rules are always sort of changing and evolving with the sport itself. Like if you look back at the NWA rule book, it said that you can be disqualified for throwing people over the top rope, which is obviously not a rule anymore for most of the major promotions. So it's one of those things that it's like, if you release it, then all of a sudden it's out of date. So I don't know if it'll ever come out or see the light of day, but I just know that every promotion kind of enforces rules a little bit differently. And, you know,
it's also, it depends on the story that you're kind of telling in the moment, whether you want to enforce certain rules or not.
Like that's part of and really art. At the end of the day, it's referee's discretion. So it's the rules are there to service the match. That's really the most important thing.
I mentioned in the intro and I questioned it. You're the AEW project coordinator, which in this case, my question is going to relate to AEW games and the Elite GM is available for your Apple and Android devices. How did you become the lead on this project? How much fun are you having creating this? And I think you have a CM Punk autographed t-shirt giveaway that's in progress.
Yes. So before I was a full-time referee, I was a full-time game developer. For 11 years, I've shipped 6 different console games over that time across different systems. I've worked on more games than I've shipped that will never see the light of day. So I've got a pretty extensive game development background, and falling into All Elite Wrestling's lap when they want to start a games division was sort of one of the lucky things that happened. So it was sort of a no-brainer for me to come on and help out with that in some capacity. And we've got a number of projects in the queue right now. We've got our Twitch stream that we just launched. Evil Uno's been working on that. And early on, I think it was March of 2020, we were hearing pitches from various different companies. We decided to work on Elite General Manager. And my boss says, hey, you're doing this project. I said, okay. I've never shipped a free-to-play mobile game, but there's a lot of things with game development that are the same regardless of project you're working on. So I'm having a blast. I thought I had left game development entirely when I signed with All Elite Wrestling. So it's nice to still have that creative itch. It's a little bit different because I've been so focused on the development side particularly, and now I'm sort of the publisher. So it's a different role for me. I'm learning a lot about myself. My management style has to change a little bit with that. But I mean, I get to work with great teams. I get to help build a brand. I get to use all of my experience to help my wrestling company grow. Like there's just a lot of cool things that come out of it. And you mentioned the giveaway. We're doing a launched yesterday, Monday. We launched a t-shirt giveaway where people can post screenshots of the ranking and multiplayer, and we'll select random people from each ranking that will get a custom CM Punk shirt that will not be available anywhere else and will be signed. So it's kind of a great thing. We're trying to do things a little bit differently with Elite General Manager, not just do a typical free-to-play game. We're trying to kind of incorporate a lot of the elements that make AEW AEW. So it's been fun. It's been fun.
Tony Schiavone is your co-host on AEW Unrestricted Podcast. I love Tony. Many people, including myself, have called him the voice of our childhood. He left wrestling for a long time and he's now back. It sounds like he's just having so much fun doing the pro wrestling thing again. Do you have a fun Tony Schiavone story to share?
Oh, man.
There are a lot of Tony Schiavone stories that you can't share, and I understand that because they're
correct.
But you know, that's why I asked, is there one that you can share?
I can share the actual like first one, like why he picked me for his podcast host, which I think is we touched on in his episode for Unrestricted. But he was asked to host the official All Elite Wrestling podcast and asked to pick his co-host. So this was in Washington, D.C., our first show ever for Dynamite. And he's walking around trying to like figure out like, who should I work with, blah, blah, blah. And I'm standing there next to the ring looking kind of like concerned and frustrated. And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm trying to find a goddamn cameraman because we needed to take a photo of the roster and all these things. And apparently that was the thing that clicked for him where he's like, that's my co-host. So that's always kind of the funny one where I'm like, I like that you never really know what's going to happen and what's going to be the thing that changes your life. And that was apparently the one. So now we've got new episodes every Thursday and we're just making fun of each other, poking fun, but clearly we have a wonderful relationship and I love Tony Schiavone. And I can't imagine not doing the podcast with him at this point.
Yeah, I've been a fan of his for a long time. I'm happy his Atlanta Braves are in the World Series right now. Because he's a huge baseball fan. Wednesday night, AEW, they're coming to Aganis Arena. The place is sold out. The vibe the last time was great. The fan vibe, the energy in the room is just so great for AEW. Aubrey Edwards, is there a charity or a foundation that you're an advocate for that we can promote here?
I'm a big advocate for Code.org. It's a organization that brings software learning, understanding programming languages to groups that maybe don't have access to it. So underprivileged groups, they really focus on diversity. And that's been a charity that I've supported in the past, even through AEW. We did a charity event at the end of last year to help raise some money for them. So that's been a charity that's very close and near to dear to my heart, just because of my game development background. It's really important to me that people have access to computer science education as much as they possibly can.
Excellent. Aubrey Edwards is my favorite official in AEW. She is a great advocate for All Elite Wrestling. I'm so happy that we got to have a conversation for a few minutes. I will be at Aganis Wednesday night for the show. Aubrey, thank you so much for the time. I know you are very busy, so I appreciate you taking the time to join me here today.
This was wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.